You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up, Wisconsin waterways include hundreds of dams, and the state is pushing for more of them to be replaced. We hear how cities and towns are working with regulators to keep their dams safe.
First, Governor Walker declared a state of emergency this week for three northwestern counties after a tornado killed one person and injured many on Tuesday. We'll get the details of this and other top stories in our weekly review of state news.
Robert Mentzer joins us now. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thank you.
So bring us up to speed with the tornado situation that hit on Tuesday. What do we know?
So this tornado hit Mobile Home Park in Prairie Lake in Barron County, north of Eau Claire, and just laid waste to the mobile homes there. Killed a 45-year-old man named Eric Gavin, who was one of the residents, and injured 27 people. There were 58 trailer homes in the park, and 15 were completely destroyed. A number of others were damaged. According to a local TV station, the residents whose homes were not destroyed have been mostly, you know, have not moved back in, but maybe permitted to come home today.
There was also a turkey barn that was leveled, I understand.
Yes, yeah, and turkey processing plant was across the street, and yeah, I saw a report saying that there were turkeys wandering around in the debris, and people lost their animals as well. That's another part of the story, is that, you know, the local Humane Society has been responding as well, because there are a number of pets and animals that were missing after the storm.
And our news reporter, Rich Kramer, he was out there covering the aftermath, and we have a clip of Barron County Sheriff Chris Fitzgerald. Let's take a listen.
You can just see where the path went through. It's amazing that we're not talking about multiple dead people. And it's just, and the trailers show it, so it's amazing. It's a miracle.
So this trailer park area got the bulk of the damage, is that right?
Right, certainly the worst of the damage. The tornado itself, it takes time to reconstruct these things, but the meteorologists are saying that it touched down for between 30 and 60 miles, which is very unusual, which is the National Weather Service says is 10 times longer than is typical for this sort of storm. So this, you know, in that path, this is a relatively sparsely populated area that the tornado went through, but it hit directly on this in this trailer park area, and that's where the worst of the damage was for residences.
And do we know how long it'll take to clean up, or what assistance these residents will receive to get their lives back together?
Sure. Well, it's a long process for sure. The Red Cross is providing supplies to residents. There have been emergency shelters open. And the governor has declared a state of emergency. So one thing that state of emergency triggers is the option for residents to apply for financial assistance, given the disruption in their lives. And, the fact that many of the victims here are in lower socioeconomic status, it's a fair bet that is going to be needed. There have been a bunch of GoFundMe sites that have cropped up, or, GoFundMe
mm-hmm.
accounts.
Yeah.
The sheriff advises against that at the moment. They're not sort of official, although people can give what they want. But I think that, the Red Cross is sort of the clearinghouse there.
We're talking right now with Rob Mentzer. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, looking at the big stories rounding out Wisconsin news this week. And moving on now to Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark, who made a big announcement this week. The four-term sheriff is leaving his post. Rob, what do we know about this?
Yeah, Clark has been angling hard for a position in the Trump administration, and this week it happened for him, maybe. On Wednesday, he told a conservative radio show that he would be taking a position with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's Office of Partnership and Engagement, that he'd be a liaison there to state and local law enforcement. And there was a little bit of a weird back and forth because then the Homeland Security Department itself issued a statement saying that no such announcement has been made. But it seems like they're referring to the announcement rather than the actual position. So most likely he's going to join the Trump administration.
And there was also a little back and forth with Governor Walker's office. He's saying he's resigned, and yet we heard that from Governor Walker's spokesperson that they hadn't received his resignation letter.
Yeah, you know, one starts to get the sense that Clark is not a real detail-oriented guy. I don't know. It's a bit, I think it seems pretty clear that he got out ahead of himself saying this on the radio. It's just sort of been transparently his main goal for a period of many months. He was in Trump Tower during the sort of Trump transition team time in December, January, and at that time some people were saying he was a possible candidate for director of Homeland Security. He must have just been really excited to hold in the news.
He's also been a very provocative political figure and polarizing for that matter. Can you kind of give us a portrait of his four terms in office?
He's hard right, extreme conservative, and his bread and butter is he's the guy who will make the outrageous statements and go further than any other sort of conservative commentator, let alone office holding sheriff. He's called for the suspension of habeas corpus in order to round up hundreds of thousands of people he accuses of terrorism. He wants to hold them in Guantanamo Bay. That's his idea. He makes no distinction about whether they should be American citizens, and he regularly refers to Black Lives Matter as a terrorist organization. In his jail, the jail he oversees has had four deaths, including the dehydration death of an inmate whose water was turned off for 7 days. That's the case that a jury just recently recommended criminal charges against seven jail staff members. And he's called for the use of tear gas to disband peaceful protests. So this is sort of his game, to make out their statements, and that may have appealed to the Trump administration.
You also shared a thread on your Twitter feed from a veteran who is feeling frustrated with the sheriff's uniform. Can you tell us a little bit about what this thread was about?
Yeah, so I found this really interesting, and it's in a way it seems a bit trivial, but I think it is truly revealing. A U.S. Army veteran who's a liberal online commentator named Charles Clymer had a series of tweets pointing out that Clark pins medals across the front of his uniform, but he does it in a way that has nothing to do with any uniform code or does not signify what Clark has actually done. You look at the photo of him when he spoke at the Republican National Convention, and he has medals and ribbons all over his uniform, and it signals a kind of martial authority, and it's just made up. Clymer wrote this in his small sort of Twitter essay, wrote, "Military and police decorations are earned. They take hard work and sacrifice. Colin Powell once described a dress uniform as a soldier's resume." But in Clark's case, he's wearing, badge replicas and flag pins. People were pointing out that a couple of the pins that he wears are literally sold at Walmart. So I think this actually gets to something real. There's a desire to signal a sort of militaristic or quasi-military credentials, and it's about an inch deep.
Well, finally, as we wrap up here, the UW-Madison Twitter feed was hacked this week. Can you tell us what happened there?
Yeah, so it could have been worse, but UW-Madison got hacked. There was the tweet, LOL, why go to university when you can just sit at home and fail at life and stuff, which if I do a close reading, I think is actually an argument for going to college, but anyway... You know, so it could have been worse. So the Twitter feed was hacked. Some goof posted a handful of tweets like these, but there was no indication of any hacking of a computer system. There wasn't a breach of student data, not even any, like, malware links posted on the account. So it's kind of, like, mildly embarrassing to the university, but looks like it was, well, let's put it this way, it looks like it was not North Korea here.
Well, and people are very nervous about hacking right now. They're on edge. What did UW officials say about the hack?
Yeah, I mean, they said it's a reminder to have two-factor identification and to monitor how social media feeds are administered, and maybe they do. I let it be said, as somebody who administers a handful of Twitter accounts as part of my job sometimes, there but for the grace of God go any of us. I do think it is the case that hacking is to some extent a fact of life today, and so there's sort of, you know, actual malicious hacking that can do real damage and harm, and then there's this, which appears, on as far as we can tell, appears to have just been someone sort of goofing off.
Rob, thanks so much for joining us.
All right, thank you.
Rob Mentzer is storytelling editor for the USA Today Network, Wisconsin, based in Wausau. He joins us every Friday to look back at the week's biggest news.
This is Central Time.